Chapter 7 Life on My Own. My job consisted of washing out wine bottles, pasting labels on full bottles, and packing them in casks. It was filthy, tiresome work in a gloomy warehouse. I was never mistreated and did not complain, but I was deeply ashamed to be given a task generally handed to beggars. I was still a very small boy. People constantly stared to see me buying my own food and moving about the streets alone. I became quite used to it, though I sometimes found it difficult to get the attention of vendors. The only high point in my existence was boarding with an unusual family by the name of Micawber. Mr. Micawber spoke with a genteel air, but seemed constantly on the edge of financial ruin. This teetering edge had an odd effect on his emotions. I had often seen him weeping with his wife over the certainty of ending up in debtor's prison, then hours later laughing over chops for dinner. The door to their house wore a great brass plate that read, Mrs. Micawber's Boarding Establishment for Young Ladies. But I never saw a single young lady linger near the door. The family treated me warmly and included me in everything they did, sometimes far more than they should. I heard about every unsettled bill and every disappointed plan or hope. Their kindness was all that carried me along as I labored each day at the wine bottles. The Micawbers did an amazing job of hiding from creditors for months. But early one morning, Mr. Micawber was arrested and sent to the King's Bench prison. All the household furniture was sold and carried away in a van. Mrs. Micawber moved into the prison, where her husband had a room to himself. I hired a little room outside the walls of the prison. I had grown too used to the Micawbers to part, and they seemed equally attached to me. We continued this way for months. I entered the prison each morning as soon as the gates opened and ate my breakfast with the Micawbers. Mr. Micawber was much admired in the prison, and his advice was sought out by many of the other prisoners. During this time, Mr. Micawber worked on a document that would secure his release. As soon as they were free of the prison, the Micawbers decided to leave London. When that day grew close at hand, I found myself truly depressed. My job was shoddy and beneath me, my clothes were in tatters, and the closest thing I had to family was leaving. As the Micawbers drove away, I realized I had only one answer to my problem. I would run away. I would find the only relation I had in the world, Miss Betsy Trotwood. With this plan fixed, I decided to act on it. Immediately. I wrote a letter to Peggotty to ask if she knew where Miss Trotwood lived. I also asked if I might borrow a bit of money. Peggotty's response came quickly and was full of her love as always. She sent me the money I asked for, though I knew it must have been difficult to get such a sum from Mr. Barkis. He believed in extreme thriftiness. She told me that Miss Trotwood lived near Dover, but that she knew nothing more specific. I decided to set out at the end of that week. I wanted to be certain that I had worked off the full extent of my pay so that no one could argue I had stolen from them. Then, on the last day, I simply left work with no intention of returning. My first adventure, unfortunately, came when a long-legged young man stole my small box of belongings. My money from Peggotty was gone, along with it. Thus, I left London with less than I had carried into it.